So we turn tonight to this Psalm 147, and we can read again verse 14. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And in that he was teaching us to recognize how dependent we are upon God for everything. Every day of our life we are to look to God to provide us with food, with clothes, with our homes, with all that we need in daily life. And every day we should thank God and praise God for his provision for us. We're dependent upon God. But it's also important for us from time to time, from year to year, to have a special time of thanksgiving to the Lord. In Israel, in Old Testament times, they had their harvest Thanksgiving Day. It was called the Feast of Weeks and also Pentecost. It was called Pentecost, especially in the New Testament. And at Pentecost, they celebrated the harvest and they gave thanks to God for his provision for them. Now, our fathers and the churches have seen the appropriateness of a day in the year set apart as a day for harvest thanksgiving. And that's what we have done ourselves today. We've got today as our day for particularly giving thanks to God for another harvest and another year of provision for our needs. Those who live in farming communities are much more conscious of their dependence on the Lord for the harvest. You and I, we tend to just go to the shops and we expect food to be there, and we depend on our job to provide money or our pension, whatever it is, and we go along and we expect food to be in the supermarkets. But it's important for us to remember where the food comes from and the role that harvest plays in providing for us. Now, the Psalms are, of course, suitable for every occasion. It's amazing how they deal with the different experiences that you and I have and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And you can always find a psalm that is relevant for your service or for your needs or for your prayers or for your praises. And we find here tonight Psalm 147 is particularly relevant for us at a time of harvest thanksgiving. It's interesting to notice that the last five Psalms, Psalms 146 to 150, are specially Psalms of praise. They each begin with "Praise ye the Lord," and they end with "Praise ye the Lord." These five last Psalms, full of praise, and that's what we have here in Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. So I would like us to look then at this psalm together tonight, and as we do so, to seek to lift up our hearts in thanksgiving to God for his goodness to us. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, it is comely, it's the right thing to do. Yes, we should praise the Lord. We should be praising the Lord every day of our lives. We should be praising the Lord every moment of our lives. And if we go to heaven at the end of our life, we will be praising the Lord forevermore, to all eternity. Praise is good. It is comely, it's right, and it's appropriate. So many reasons to praise the Lord, and especially today, Harvest Thanksgiving. Sing a new song to your God for wonders he hath done. How good the Lord is to us, providing for us for our every need. Verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Now Jerusalem, as you remember, was the center of the church in the Old Testament, the center of Israel. And God built up Jerusalem. God made it the holy city, and he made there his temple where he should be worshipped. For us, when we say, Lord, build up Jerusalem, we mean the new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem is you and me and the Church of Christ today, scattered across the whole world. God builds his church, and one day the building will be complete, and then Christ will return again to dwell in the New Jerusalem which is made up of his own people, Christians, who love him, trust in him, and follow him. Praise the Lord, he's building up Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, he's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Remember Jesus, how he used to meet with the publicans and the sinners, how he didn't despise the beggars, the blind, the disabled, the poor, the weak. And they said concerning him, this man, he sits and eats and drinks with publicans and sinners. And they used this as a kind of criticism of Jesus. So many people in his day, just like Pharisees today, and self-righteous people. But wonderfully, we know that the Lord gathers in the outcasts. Those whom the world rejects, the Lord takes in. Those whom the world despises, there's a place for them in the church of God. Nobody is to be turned away. No room for racism. No room for ageism. No room for discrimination on the basis of wealth or lack of it. No, God gathers together the outcasts, the rejects, and he takes them in to form his new Jerusalem, and he lifts the beggar and places him with the chief, even with the princes of his people. Verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Broken hearted, sad, discouraged, depressed, disappointed, lonely, bereaved, the broken in heart. Yes, God has a place for them, and God has a comfort for them, and God binds up their broken hearts. He heals these sore hearts, these troubled hearts, these wounded hearts. Whoever you are with your broken heart, come to the Lord, because in him there's healing. He's the great physician. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one who's loving and merciful and binds up the broken heart. In God we find a loving Father, a loving embrace. Now, of course, in the broken heart, we have particularly the idea of the one who's brokenhearted because of their sins. When the Lord opens our eyes to see our own sins, then we mourn and we weep and we grieve and we think, how terrible that I've sinned against God. I've done this, I've done that, I've done the next thing. I crucified Christ. How awful. But blessed are they that mourn. Godly sorrow works repentance, not to be repented of. He healeth the broken in heart. Do you have a broken heart tonight? Come to Him. And He binds up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them by their names. He counts the number of the stars. How many stars are there? Man cannot count. Hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of stars. And God knows exactly the number of stars there are. And He actually gives a name to each one of them. He knows everything about them. How great is our God! How infinite is His knowledge! How detailed is His concern about us! There's nothing that He misses. He knows everything about your situation and what you are going through. What a cause to praise Him then! He telleth the number of the stars and counteth them by name. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God is great. What can He not do? He made this world out of nothing by the word of His power. He rules the nations. He controls history. He is in control of heaven above. He is in control of hell beneath. Even the devil can do nothing without the Lord's permission. Our God is of great power. Great power. You can't ask for something too big from God. He's able to do anything. Great power, and His understanding is infinite. He understands everything about us and all our needs. The Lord lifteth up the meek, verse 7, and casteth the wicked to the ground. The meek, the humble. The one who's not the arrogant and the proud and the self-reliant and the self-confident and the aggressive, but the meek. Meekness describes God's children. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness, gentleness, lovingness, forgiving, turning the other cheek, not seeking revenge. Blessed are the meek that wait upon the Lord. The Lord lifts them up. The world might trample upon them, but God won't allow that to happen. The Lord lifts up the meek. And the wicked might get on for a while, but eventually the Lord will cast them down. Verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. How many reasons we have to give thanks, to praise Him, to honor Him, to adore Him. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. Where does rain come from that makes things grow? It is the Lord that gives us the rain. We are to be thankful for His provision for us of rain. We think of the desert parts of the world where there is no rain, and how thankful we should be that we have rain and we have grass that grows so that animals can feed upon the grass, the sheep and the cattle, and they provide food for man. God gives rain. God gives grass. God provides for man. And even verse 9, He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Sometimes we think of harvest just simply as referring to man. But harvest is important too for the animals and for the birds. They too require things to grow, food for themselves. And we think of all the variety of animals that there are in the world, and we think of the food chain and how these various animals are in balance one with another, all the different birds, the young ravens. Man might despise the ravens, but they cry out, and the Lord provides them with their food. Jesus said, what's a sparrow? Two sparrows sold for a farthing, a tiny little copper coin. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than a sparrow? Will God not feed you, O ye of little faith? The young ravens, they cry to God. Verse 10, he delighteth not in the strength of a horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. We have the picture there of the earthly farmer who trusts in his horse, and it's the horse ploughing the field and harrowing it and planting. And the legs of a man able to work hard, by my work I'll provide for myself. Well, in today's world, a big tractor and a plough and a sowing machine and a sprayer and a combine harvester, a man puts his trust. He puts his trust in his machines. But what good is the machines if God doesn't give the harvest? Paul plants, Apollos waters, and God gives the increase. We can have all the right equipment, but then if things go wrong, if climate changes, if there's no rain, what's going to happen? How are we going to survive? If some plague comes and affects our cattle, like the foot and mouth disease a few years ago, and thousands of animals are they killed and burnt? How terrible. We're hearing about Denmark, how the mink farms in Denmark, how the mink have to be slaughtered, all these creatures put to death because of some coronavirus that has come from them that can affect people as well. So many things can happen. Viruses, insects, plagues of locusts in East Africa and the Middle East and reaching down into Pakistan over this past year and causing devastation, destroying huge amounts of crops. Thank God for the harvest. Thank God for his provision for us. God doesn't need the strength of man. God is almighty. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Who does God delight in? Who is the man whom the Lord is pleased to honor? The one who fears him, who reveres him, who loves him, who walks in his ways. The Lord takes pleasure in those who give him the place he should have in their lives. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The Lord taketh pleasure in those that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Praise the Lord, you church, you Christians, you people of God. Verse 13, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. God provides security. He strengthened the bars of the gates of Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah. And there are some who think that this Psalm was written in the days of Nehemiah. You remember how they were facing so much opposition. How Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian mocked them, and how all the nations around them were threatening them, and yet they struggled on, and they were repairing the walls and building the walls and eventually setting up the gates. Well, they succeeded because God was with them. God was helping them. He strengthened the bars of thy gates. Well, that was in Old Testament times, and today the Lord strengthens our bars too and provides security for us. He hath blessed thy children within thee. We are thankful for God's blessing upon our children. He maketh peace in thy borders. What a wonderful blessing peace is. For the last 80 years, we in this country have enjoyed peace. And how thankful we should be for that peace. That there's been no bombs dropping on us. No bullets in our streets. There are other parts of the world. We think of the Middle East. And we think of Syria, and Iraq, and Afghanistan. We think of troubled parts of Africa, like Nigeria, Sudan, Somalia, where there's conflict and violence and terrorism. There was a report this week of Mozambique, the north of Mozambique. 50 people being taken by Islamists into a football field, and their heads chopped off, and their bodies mutilated. How horrible. Terrible things happening in other parts. How thankful we should be that the Lord maketh peace within thy borders. Thank God for peace. Thank God for liberty. The freedom we have to worship God the way we believe we should. Freedom to come to church. We should be thankful for it and pray that that freedom will continue. In the days of the judges, remember how on the Lord's Day there we were preaching from the book of Judges. In the days of the judges, they had times of peace. In the days of Othniel, 40 years the land had rest. In the days of Deborah and Barak, another 40 years of rest. And then in the days of Gideon, 40 years of peace. When we worship God, when we serve God, when we are faithful to the Lord brings peace. He maketh peace within thy borders. Give thanks to God for peace. If it was taken from us, then we would know what a blessing it is. And then filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. God gives you food, and the best of food. God took Israel out of Egypt, where they were slaves. He fed them in the wilderness with bread from heaven falling down upon them early each morning. When they would go out, the manna was around the camp, and they could gather it together. He fed them in the wilderness, and then he brought them into the land, flowing with milk and honey. How wonderful is God's goodness. How great is His provision. And you and I, we have an abundance that we don't deserve. The Lord is so good to us. A quarter of the world is suffering from malnutrition. And you and I, we have more than we could eat. And sometimes we eat more than we should. Such an abundance. An abundance of variety, all kinds of food is ours. Who filleth thee with the finest of the wheat? Praise God for harvest. How thankful we should be for what grows in the field. how thankful we should be for another year of harvest. Sadly, even in this country, there are some people suffering from poverty. We've been hearing a lot about Marcus Rashford, the footballer, and his campaign for free school meals, and he talks about how when he was young himself, how dependent he was for nourishment upon these school meals. And it seems a good campaign. Although, sadly, from my own experience, those who are suffering from poverty, it's generally because of addiction to drink, to drugs, and to gambling. That's what one tends to find. People who complain a great deal sometimes, and you see them making their complaints on television about their lack of food or whatever, and yet you look and their faces are all made up with makeup, and they're not looking that skinny either, but the houses seem to be comfortable houses, and they have these color televisions, and they seem to have their Netflix and all the rest of it, but they're complaining about their poverty. We should be thankful for Social Security, the National Health Service, pensions. Yes, these things are good, and the Lord in His mercy has provided for us with these things. He filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. But friends, what is the finest of the wheat? It's not bread, earthly bread, it's heavenly bread. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. My flesh is bread indeed. My blood is drink indeed. And you and I, we are to eat Christ. We're to feed upon Him. To eat His flesh gives us not just sustenance for a few hours, but it gives to us eternal life. Are you feeding upon Christ, the bread that came down from heaven, the finest of the wheat? How thankful we should be that Christ is freely offered to us. Whoever you are, Christ is saying, come unto me. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Feed upon Christ. Eat Him. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of His wheat. He sendeth forth His commandment on earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives the snow and the ice. He sendeth His word and melteth them again. Causeth the wind to blow and the waters flow. He shows His word to Jacob. He created the world by a word. The word of the Lord is so important. He's given it to us in the Bible. He speaks through the Bible to us. The word of God. That's what we need to feed upon. He showeth His word unto Jacob, and His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. Israel were unique in Old Testament times. One nation, one little nation in the whole earth, to whom God had given His word. And that made them special. Thank God today. God's word is not limited to the Jews, to Israel. God's word is there for Britain, for America, for China, for Russia, for Africa, Asia, for the whole world. The word of the Lord is there. that word is the gospel, the glad tidings of great joy, the message of forgiveness, of peace, of salvation, of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for harvest time. We thank thee that thou hast given to us another harvest in this country. We thank thee for the wheat and the barley and the oats that grow in the fields. We thank thee, Lord, for the vegetables, the crops that grow. We thank thee for the grass that provides food for the cattle, for the sheep. We thank thee, Lord, for the abundance of food that there is in our shops. And we pray for thy blessing to be upon farmers in the work they do. And we pray that thy blessing would be upon our nation in these difficult days, and that thou wouldst help us to lift up our eyes to thee, to look to the Lord, and to put our trust in thee. Grant, O Lord, that we would not just feed upon the earthly food, but that we would seek heavenly food, even to have Christ as our food. For Jesus' sake, amen.